So we left off the previous year just introducing the concept of bedikas in the sense of how physically, practically does a woman go about doing a bedika. Now the significance of bedikas is many, many times over in Hilchos Nida. With the bedikas that we are focusing on is the bedika of Hefsek Tara. That's based on the Mishnah, the end of Hilchos Nida, that before a woman can declare that she's no longer becheskes ro adam, which will impact either getting out of Nida Deraisa or getting potentially into Sefer Shibidikima Deraisa, whatever the necessity of that chazoch is, has to be performed by a bedika. That's a Mishnah in the end of Maseches Nida. Then hopefully we'll see in weeks coming up, there are bedikas that appear in terms of counting Shibidikim during the week of Shibidikim. A woman has to do multiple bedikas in order also to make sure that she's okay. Then there are bedikas that are found in the Gemara in terms of the Zman HaVeses. We haven't even talked about that yet. When the time, when a suspected and anticipated period comes, so sometimes halacha requires doing bedikas. There are many, many bedikas that appear in the Mishnayos and the Gemara spread out throughout Hilchos Nida. As we've already noted, some of them may very well be midaraisa, some of them perhaps only midarabanan. But the fact that there's a concept of a woman taking a bedikah cloth and checking herself and inspecting and looking around to make sure she's not dam anymore, so that is a halacha that's been around for quite some time. And yet, it's interesting, in the Gemara itself, there is no absolute crystal clear statement as to practically, bedikas 101, how do you do it exactly? What does she do? How far must the bedikah cloth be inserted? How much the area must the bedikah cloth be inserted around? So it's a little bit more tashu apel, a little bit more a woman from woman to teach her, to show our next generation how to do bedikas. But in Chazal itself, very, very, very little in terms of practically just how one goes about doing bedikas. So much of our discussion today is going to revolve around the Gemara that appears in the very, very beginning of Maseches Nida, as very often in Masech. This, you have to jump 70 blocks forward and backwards and put the piece of the puzzle together in order to figure out what in the world the Maskasa Sugi is. So there is a Gemara, I can't say the backwards, I have to call it the frontwards of Maseches Nida, but in the first tucked away, in the first couple of blocks of Maseches Nida, that at first glance has absolutely no relevance to us, the Maisa, and yet becomes the pivotal part of the Sugya just to determine this most elementary, basic question: how do you go about doing a Bedika? So the background of the sugya is as follows. It's actually the first Mishnah, Maseches Nida, the very, very famous first Mishnah, where the Mishnah talks about an issue of Hilchos Nida that doesn't really impact us anymore. It impacts in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara. So the Mishnah addresses the question, when a woman experiences a Riyas Dam, so let's say it's 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, so she wakes up, she realizes she had Riyas Dam, it is very possible that Riyas Dam actually preceded 8 o'clock in the morning. It could be she was bleeding at 7 o'clock, she was bleeding at 6 o'clock. Could be, well, let's say even she gets up here at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she didn't check 10 seconds before. Could be she was bleeding for a while. And since the halacha tells us that a Riyas Dam doesn't even necessitate that the blood actually exiting the body cavity, as long as the blood goes from what we call the Bayis HaPnimi to the Bayis HaChitzon, so it's still technically inside. Where one bias ends and the other bias begins is a very, very loaded question. That's a big, big machlekes. But everyone agrees that the dam does not have to literally come out. So she will be a nida deraisa, she'll be tamei deraisa, even a little bit of time before the blood actually exits a body. This led the Tanoim to a very real concern that maybe when she thinks she got a period at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, she may have really got it at 11 o'clock in the morning, and she wasn't aware of those couple of hours, and that's going to pose a challenge in terms of Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, because she may have touched something in the interim that may really be tum and we don't know about. So that was the background of the Mishnah. So there was a three-year machlokes, what do you do with that concern? So Shammai took the concern and said, nothing, don't worry about it. Shammai omech ha'nosh mecheskes dayan shaitan. Shammai said that we followed the chazoka meikara, so the status quo was she was tahora. Yesterday she was tahora, the day before she was tahora. Now she has a riyas dam at 2 o'clock. We have a latest asofeg whether she's been tummy for the last couple of hours. Yishtav chazoka, you follow what the chazoka was, and therefore everything is mutter, kachim, trum, is everything. Shammai is not gerber, says into our chashash. But most of the other Tanoim were concerned with this, and to different degrees they were concerned with it. So Hillel Oymeno, this is one of the very, very handful of machlokes between Hillel and Shammai themselves, not the Beis Shammai's Hillel, but Hillel and Shammai proper. So Hillel says No, not so simple. We have to be chayshish midirabon. I mean, at Torah probably don't have to be chayshish midirabon. We have to be chayshish until the last time that she checked herself. Because you never know. If she checked herself a couple hours ago, so then she's okay. But if she didn't check herself in a long time, so then we have to be chayshish all the way back to when she checked herself last. So it's been pointed out that this machlekes Hill and Shama, it's fascinating that, but we sometimes have this mindset that everything's a machlekes. Everything, every question is a machlekes. So if you look at the Gemara, that's clearly not the case. And every given machlekes in the Gemara, 99.9% everyone agrees to. The machlekes is about the last point, about the very, very small shiraim of the entire sugya. So he had the Hilgitaram, Shavin Hill. They all agree there's a din of Tumas Nidah, there's a din of Isanidah, there's a din of Chazok, there's a din of Sfekas, there's a din of Kachurah. Everything was agreed upon. And now they had a nuanced machlekes. Should we make it takonas chachamim to be chayshesh, even though probably in the Torah there's really not to be chayshesh? Everyone agreed to everything. There was one Torah, and there was a little prat here and there at the very, very end. The later years, the prat became a little bit more. So Nasikish Torah, they started to look like hey, different shittas floating around here. But the days of the earlier Tanoim, there was almost nothing that they were arguing about. The Mishnah says, Chagigah, they spent six generations arguing about one Nakud, whether to speak on a carpet on Yantar. That was like the most controversial topic they could think of that wasn't resolved. So there were always questions, there were always potential machlaikas, Kipal Lucha Dabla Mishpat, there were always disagreements from day one. Moshe and Aaron had machlaikas, but machlaikas were resolved. There was a method of voting in order to base the base of the in order to resolve machlaikas. But he had this machlaikas, Shavanil remained for a while. Then the Mishnah quotes a third possibility, the view of the Chachamim that say that we do follow the previous Bedika, but in addition to the previous Bedika, if it's too far, if it's more than 24 hours already, that's already too much to be Chayshish. So if she did a Bedika 3 days ago, we're not going to go all the way back with Tommy, everything retroactive for 3 days. We'll say Ad Me'ais Li'ais. That's the background, the Mishnah that Be'ez Maseches Nidah. So in that context, then the Mishnayos continue in the first breath of Nidah and discuss that it would be a great idea for a woman to do bedikos if she's osekas betaras, if she's touching things that we want to remain tahor. So it would be foolish of her not to do bedikos constantly, because if she's going to not do bedikos constantly, then she's going to be metami things right and left. So therefore, tikno chacham, the chamu misaken, that she should always have to check herself every 10 minutes. She should go crazy. So she has to do bedikos in the morning, bedikos in the evening. Kach tikno chachamim, a woman is osekas betaras, but dekas atzma beis b'amim. Again, it's irrelevant for us, but not osekas Taras anymore, but in order to protect Taras, we shouldn't end up having to throw out excess Taras. So Chazal Misakin for Isha Sekas B'Taras should be Bodekas twice. Then the Mishnah throws another curveball at us. Mishnah says, by the way, before she's with her husband, she should also do Bedika. Why? Just to make sure she's Mutaras. So Gemara Sbeit says, why does she have to do Bedika before to make sure she's Mutaras? We don't do that. So Gemara says, you're right. That Meikra Din, every time a woman's together with a husband, she has to check herself. She says, Chazokos, Mechate says she should check herself. Forget, the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechet Nidah, that's not such a good idea for a woman to always check herself before Tashmish, because Libo Nokfai, he's going to see his wife every time she's going to go run to the bathroom, do a bedika, he's going to think, oh, she must have seen something, she must have felt something. He's not going to want to be with her, so it's not going to be good for Shal Bias. So the Gemara frowns upon excess bedikas before Tashmish. But the Gemara says, if a woman is on Sefes Petaras, even though Hukhas Tashmish doesn't dictate a requirement for a bedika, normally we would frown upon extra bedikas. Hayo that she's Batechas Atzma Petaras, that if you want this bedika for good luck. So basically the mindset is, if you live in 2024, no one's ever doing bedikas for taras. We don't have taras anymore. So all of a sudden, right before the couple's together, the woman goes run to do bedika. That's not a good sign. That's going to cause a little bit of a strife. But the husband knows. This is what she does all day. She's always checking herself. This is common practice. Every woman knows. If you live in this banishment, you wake up in the morning, you do a bedika. You go to sleep, you do a bedika. So when she's with her husband, right before she goes up, she does nacha bedika. He doesn't view it. Nobody views it as such a terrible thing. And therefore, chazal and masachet, this extra bedika, even though there's really no need for it, because taras itself don't warrant it. You already did one in the morning, one at night, so what do you need an extra one for? And baila, the ikaron, doesn't warrant it. Haraya, we don't do bedikas. But hayo, that you're doing it anyway. So they said, as the extras, the heroes throw it on for good luck. That's the background of the mission. So far, we have so off of Halacha Maaseh Burgenfield 2024. We're talking about taras, we're talking about bedikas, we're talking about extra bedikas that aren't even necessary. And now the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, and by the way, that extra bedika that wasn't really necessary anyway, because Chazal said to do it. So the Gemara says that bedika will not count to be memayit ne'es li'es. That won't count in order to save taros. Usually we have the rule is, any taros that were done before the previous bedika are okay, because we assume that. If she was really raw down, let's say she's doing a bedika now at 10 o'clock at night, if she was really raw down in the last couple of hours, so that it would have been picked up by the previous bedika. So Gemara says, that previous bedika, that bedika, we're talking about the third bedika, that extra quote unquote unnecessary, the supposedly superfluous bedika that was instituted by Chazal for the woman as a sekas betaris, a check for her husband. Also, the Gemara says, by the way, that bedika is not going to do the trick. That's not going to solve the taris problem. Why not? So the Gemara says, because that bedika is not done properly. Why is it not done properly? Mitaych shem humul abesa, eina machneses bechar nustokin. That's the Lashon Chazal. Because she's in a rush. She wants to be with her husband. It's late at night. She wants to be with her husband. So she's not going to do as thorough bedika as she should be doing. And what is called an unthorough bedika? I'm sure that was a word. What's called a non-thorough bedika? A bedika that's not bedikas chayin stokin. That is the place in all of Shas, in all of Shas, where the Gemara uses the phrase, bedikas chayin stokin. Chayin stokin means the nooks and crannies, the crevices, the looking around, the entire inefficient bedika. So here, all of a sudden, the Gemara presents for us this idea that there is a properly done bedika and an improperly done bedika. A properly done bedika includes bedikas chayin stokin. An improperly done bedika is minus the bedikas chayin stokin. And the Gemara says that, since we cannot trust the women to do a proper bedika because mehumah lebesa, so therefore we can't rely on this bedika vis-a-vis taharas, and therefore we're going to say do it, but we don't really think you're doing it right anyway, and therefore the bedika basically is treated as kemat lebesa. At kadibrei gemara, very very cryptic gemara. Again, a very detailed shem details. The whole din of beis is a detail, and the whole din of bedikas for taharas is a detail, and the whole din of the extra bedikas is a detail, and the inner. But it is on this line, the Gemara, where the Gemara identifies this issue of bedikas that are done properly and bedikas that are done improperly. And the phrase that Chazal used to describe the improperly done bedikas are bedikas she'enam shachar nistok. So the Ravid, in his perish, in his Balei HaNefesh, Sefer de Chosnida, I've quoted the Ravid before, that the Ravid is a classic Sefer Allah called Balei HaNefesh, Anida and Mikvos. Many years ago, I was learning in Chosnida. It was soon after we had gotten married. I was learning in Chosnida. I remember we lived in the Heights, and we had a guest for Shabbos. And that guest was learning in a very Musa-oriented yeshiva. And he saw the Sefer Balei HaNefesh on the table, and he got very excited. The Ravid's Musa Sefer. So I said, yeah, try it. He said, it was the Ravid's How to Calculate Vestas and How to Build a Mikvah Fire 101. It was nothing to do with me. I mean, it's a great Musa Sefer, but nothing to do with his version of what Musa was. So this Halega Ravid, the Balei HaNefesh La Ravid, so he poses a challenge to this Gemara. He says, there's an obvious problem with this Gemara. The Gemara is almost a contradiction in the Obey. The Gemara is calling a bedika she'ena shachar nusdakin an inefficient bedika, not really an acceptable bedika. And the Gemara is saying that all the women are doing the bedika that way. No one's doing it right. So why are we telling them to do it for us? If the halacha requires to do a bedika and you tell me this is not a bedika, so then no one's fulfilling this din. So we just made it takanas hachamim, that's worthless. And nobody's doing it. We should, if I can't, instead of throwing our hands up and saying the women aren't doing it right, we should go back to the kal teachers and teach them how to do it properly. So the Gemara just kind of like flippantly says, no one's keeping this halacha anyway. It's like, imagine like the rabbi would get up, everyone's in mechal shabbos anyway. So do something about it. But the Gemara just kind of leaves it. Okay, Mishka fell up, so no one's doing the bedika right. So he says that if Chazal really meant the bedika has to be done, the bedika is going to stop it. So my high that nobody's doing it properly. So the Ravid develops a brisketer. The Ravid says no. He says what the Gemara is telling us is that there are two kinds of bedikas. There are bedikas lataras and there are bedikas labaila. So bedikas lataros on a much higher level. We have to be more mach. This is one of those strange things in Nuchus Nida. Many of you should point out that we're more mach in Nuchus Taros than we are in Nuchus Bia, even though Bia with the Nida is in its Sakaris. Taros is a very, very low level. Taros, Tumu V'Tara. Like the Gemara Yuma. We get very, very nervous. But Tumu V'Tara, Chazal, we're very, very, very mach about. So therefore, says the Ravid, that vis-a-vis Taharos, so Chazal insisted on the higher standard bedika. Vis-a-vis Baila, even a lower level bedika is good enough, a bedika without Chayin Stokin. What's a bedika without Chayin Stokin? You go in, you go out, that's it. Yeah, you put the bedika cloth in, move around, maybe a drop, move it out and shut. Bedika is Chayin Stokin, it's thorough, it's excessive, it's moving around, it's really getting every single nook and cranny, moving all directions. That's a bedika Chayin Stokin. So Kozman, we're talking about a bedikah lataros. That's, we need the higher standard. And therefore, if a woman does a lower standard, we're not going to save taros based on a low standard bedikah. But if the bedikah is only necessary, the bailah, so then we'll look the other way and we'll let you get away with a cheaper kind of a bedikah. So here's a rive, it's a bechidish. This bedikah that Chazal will misakin as the third bedikah for the woman who's osekas b'taros, that's called bedikah labailah. Because it's not really the taros. The bedikah taros was done in the morning and the afternoon. This was a new chumra midrabbana that I said, don't be with your husband. This is your day. This is not two betara. Don't be with your husband as a chumra midrabbana. Hold that. Anyway, you're doing bedikahs. We would really like all women to do bedikahs before them with a husband. We don't want to get into that. So you're doing bedikahs anyway. So we'll be mach a few. You need bedikahs for bialech as well. So this funny bedikah, this third extra, so to speak, the superfluous bedikah, is looked through the lens as a baila type of bedikah, not a tyrus type of bedikah. And therefore, we're very, very make it. We'll let you get away with a cheap bedikah. So with the rabbi is walking a tightrope, trying not to fall off by saying that this bedikah is it good, is it no good? Kind of. It's good to suffice for the tachana sacham of doing a bedikah before tashbish, but it's invalid in order to save taharas. That's the sort of the rabbi. Then the rabbi goes one step further. He says, this chilim that I just developed for you, that there are bedikas labayla, there are bedikas lataras, and they have different standards. Where do bedikas of, he doesn't use the phrase Bergenfeld 2024, but that's what he means. Where do our bedikas fit into this picture? But the bedikas that we practice today, the Mishnah at the end of Nida that talks about bedikas of a hefsek tara, the Mishnah at the end of Nida that talks about bedikas of Shivanikim, the Gemara is at the beginning of Nida talking about bedikas of Vestas. What are those? So one could argue, those are all a baila. Today, nobody has ever called me about a shadow about the mutar today. Everyone's shadows are mutar asa. That's why whenever I answer, shadow chazid, I always use the phrase mutar asa. Whenever you use tame, people get the word tame, they get the heebie-jeebies. So mutar asa. So today's shilas are baila shilas. No one's asking tire shilas anymore. So maybe we have a right to say, says the rabbi, all bedikas that are required in today's world are all looked at under the lens of labaila. And therefore, the lower standard bedikas suffice. The lower standard bedikas mean, you have to take a bedik cloth and do something with it. I don't know exactly what. Put it in, put it out. Sure, come on. I checked. Yeah. It's almost like bedikas chametz. There's bedikas chardus stock in there. There are the guys who are under the beds and under the fridge. And then the guys are walking around collecting 10 pieces of bread. So then, it's bedikas means you go in, you go out, and sure, come on. Like they say, there are two kinds of mashkichim. There's a mashkiach who's a yaitzeh v'nichnas. That's one phrase that I use. Then there's nichnas v'yaitzeh. It means, I went in, nichmin yaitzeh. I went in, take a look. Everything was okay. No chaza. I don't see any chaza around. No pasul chal around. You're out the door. And sure, he goes back to Avnichah. So that's what a bedika means, says the rabbi. A bedika l'bayil is a very, very low-level bedika. And therefore, one can argue that all the bedikas that we do bizbanas are all these low-level bedikas. They suffice. You don't need to drive yourself crazy and rotate the bedik cloth and spend 20 minutes doing the bedika. It's a yaitz v'nichnas. That's one version. It's one possibility the rabbi says. But then, the rabbi turns around and says, no. Just because Chazal sanctioned these very, very cheap, very, very low-level, very inefficient bedikas, labayla, that's talking about labayla that was never really needed in the first place. That was such a low-level bedika. Remember we said the bedika that the woman's doing, bizman she'o sepas betaira, she's doing the third bedika at night for her husband, that's not a real bedika. That's not a lochem mercy. That's not a deraisa. Come on. That's not a hefsek tara. That's not a shiva nekib. That's not a bedika vesas. That's a chumra. It's a chumra. It's a chumra. That kind of a totally, completely superfluous bedika labayla. It didn't really matter anyway. You don't even need it anyway. That kind of bedika they let you get away with a cheap level bedika. But a real bedika, a bedika that the halacha requires, a mishnah, according to some, it's a halacha mosh sinai, it's a din daraisa. That bedika is you're going to get away with just putting out 10 pieces of bread, just walking in, poking your nose into the kitchen and say everything's good. No. You got to go around. Got to go under the shelves, got to go under the refrigerator, you got to look around and see, is it real, really tamia? You know what's called a bedika schardus lovin. So the rabbi quotes two possibilities. This is important. This is critical. That's important. This is critical for us. What kind of bedikas are our women going to be doing? Are they going to be doing the low-level bedikas labailas that were okay to some degree? Or, bizman hazeh, we're going to require the high, high level of bedikas chorin stock. How do we paskin lahalocha on the shayla? So there seem to be three different approaches in the Rishonim as to what the answer to this question is. So the Ramban quotes this rabbi and says, he's not sure what the din is. It's very unclear. You have two logical possibilities, and therefore the Ramban says, we could split based on the following. Here the Ramban has a yisod that permeates a chasnida, where the Ramban says, we know whenever we're not sure what to do, so we tend to look what the chazaka was. Look, what was the status before him? So the Ramban says, a woman comes and asks Yishayla, I want to do a hefsek tara. It's 6 o'clock in the evening. I want to do a hefsek tara now. What kind of bedika do I have to do? Do I have to do a bedika schar stock and a very, very thorough, complete bedika? Or can I get away with a very, very flimsy kind of a bedika? So here, she has a cheskes ro adam. She's been sitting down for the last 5-6 days. We have to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that Riyas Dam has stopped. Says the Ramban, we don't know what the din is. We're not sure which trying to derive it is right. She has chazaka working against her. So suffolk, when you have a chazaka, has to go with chumra. And therefore, we're going to insist on using the more efficient bedikas. And therefore, the Ramban argues, for the bedikas have siktara, we have to go the extra mile. We have to go that extra high level of bedika, what's called bedikas chara suffolk. Once she's already done a hefsek tara, even though she's nowhere near going to the mikvah, she's got another week to go in the mikvah, but she's changed her chazocha. Her chazocha, she hasn't changed, this is a very lovely shiva, she hasn't changed her cheskes tara or cheskes isser, but she has changed her cheskes ro adam. Now she's bechazocha, that she's not ro adam. Her eyes, she just proved she stopped bleeding. Tomorrow morning when she wakes up, says the Ramban, maybe we can get away with a little bit of a less efficient bedika. Maybe we'll let her get away with the cheaper, the lower standard again. I'm not saying we should do this, but the Ramban saying then we would be much more willing to negotiate to be a maker. So that's one possibility, that basically Ramban is treating it like a suffix. The Rashba says Mechilas covered his Rebbeim in the previous generations. He thinks this whole Raivid is not right. So the Raivid read too much into this Gemara. When the Gemara says that the women are not doing the proper bedikas, so the Raivid tried to be Malamit Chusin Klal Yisrael. He's trying to say, they're not doing the proper bedikas vis-a-vis taros, but it's okay what they're doing. Like Abayil, the Rashi, that's not what the Gemara meant. The Gemara is criticizing the women and saying, you're doing a bad job. Do it right next time. The bedika that you're doing is bottom of it. It's meaningless. It's worthless. This is not a bedika. That's a garnish. That's a nothing. To put a bedik cloth in, put it in, put it out, and show it. That's like collecting 10 pieces of bread. That's not a bedika b'chol, says the Rashba. Chazal have another word. They call the word kinuach. That's a kinuach. Kinuach means to wipe around a little bit. You take a piece of toilet paper, wipe externally. It's not bedika. That's not a bedika. You have to have a bedika. Bedika means to go inside and to be boldik. Boldik means to look, to search. To search means to go around in all directions, all areas. What Chazal described is bedika scharna stokin. So whereas the Ramban was willing to concede that maybe it would be okay, at least for subsequent bedikas, maybe not for hefsek tara, the Rashba said the whole thing is wrong. But there was one opinion in the Ravid that it's taka good, that everything is taka good. So how do we pask in the Aloch and Shulchan Aruch? So the Shulchan Aruch pask in the Chumr Nishai says, we don't rely on any of these kunsim and these kulas and maizlach. Our practice is, you require bedikas chayin and stokin. When a woman does a bedikas, she cannot just put a bedik cloth in and pull it out. She has to move it around. But the Loshan in today's world is rotate. You have to rotate it around. You have to move it around. You have to move it in all areas that she's able to move. That's the equivalent of bedikas chayin and stokin. She can't see, she's not looking inside, but she has to move the bedikas cloth in all areas in that area. That's called the equivalent of what Chazal described as the bedikas chayin nistokin. So Shulchan Aruch, that's how we pask it. The Nedi Bihuda has a tshuva. He writes that sometimes you have women who have a lot of trouble getting hefsek taras clean. We spoke a little bit about this in the previous year, that a woman has a makkah, and even she has a makkah, but lemaisa, she's not producing clean bedikas cloth, so we're having problems. So the Nedi Bihuda discusses the possibility, maybe we could rely on the Raivin. Maybe, it's a possible maybe. Maybe we could rely on that one opinion in the Raivin, that v'shas v'chak godol, maybe she could do less than a bedikas chayin nistokin, even for hefsek tara proper. Because man is there, we don't really rely on that, because we mentioned last year, we have the possibility of going to bodeka. A woman goes to a midwife. The midwife looks around inside, and she looks in all areas, and that's called the bedikas chayin nistokin, so she doesn't have to cause herself irritation. She's, every time she puts a bedikas cloth in, she starts to bleed. She has a wound there. So the midwife will go in and take a look and say, I'm telling you, I don't see any blood here, no blood there. Blah, 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 blah. That was Yaitse. That's also called the bedikas chayin nistokin. But in the olden days, they didn't have that technology. So the debuter said that maybe shasach ha-gordo, we can rely on the kula. But again, the starting point is we insist on a thorough bedika requiring some kind of a rotating motion in that area. That's called the halacha equivalent of bedikas chayin nistokin. There is another question that the Beis Yosef raised, the Beis Yosef addresses in Hilchos Nida, and that's not in terms of of the area of space that the bedikah is being done, but in terms of the depth, just how far in is the bedikah going to take place. So there is a lashon that's floating around in some Rishonim that has the following connotation. Ad makom she'ashamash dash. That means the bedikah has to be inserted as far as the aver of tashmish of the man goes in b'shas tashmish. That's the shear. That's how far the bedikah cloth has to go in. So Rabbi Yosef quotes this from some Rishonim, and he says, I think it's the pelagon. He says it's such a chumrah. That's quite far. He says, that's very, very far for the big loaf to go in. And here the Beis Yosef writes something very fascinating. He said, he spoke to the women about it. So he writes, right? And Beis Yosef he said, I spoke to several women about this topic, and they said to the Beis Yosef, they said, it's Eifshar. He said, you can't do it. It's too far. He said, it's not going to work. And if you're going to start to go that far, you are inevitably going to cause pain, you're going to start to cause bleeding. Start to irritate yourself. That's what he writes. He's Yibartim, Kama Noshim, and they explain to him that if you go that far, you're asking for trouble. That's what the Zoy State and the Beis Yosef. So, what do you do with that piece of information? So, the Ramal writes that therefore our practice is that we don't insist on that depth of a bedikah. The Ramal writes, what we tell the women to do is to do a bedikah. There's a very, very vague statement, Kefi Kocha. He says she should go as far as she can. That's the lashon. But she shouldn't hurt herself. She shouldn't push too far. She should do bechol kocha. She has to do bedikas chor nistachin. So there are two different issues here. One is the issue of going around in terms of area. The other is in terms of depth. So the Ramah writes area. We wanted to get the entire area, but in terms of depth, so she doesn't have to go that far. She should do it as far as kefi kocha that she can. The Messer that I have is, it's like the Beis Yosef's women who told the Beis Yosef, if it's starting to hurt, that means you know you're going too far. It means that's a proof positive that something's going wrong. Bedikas are not supposed to be painful. Not necessarily the most comfortable thing, but that's supposed to be pain. If the mom's hurting yourself, that's a simon that you're going too far. So again, this is something that, you know, in the world of the poskim, certain descriptions that are given, most of this is Tarsha Apel a little bit, the women have a door Ladar. So a good Kala teacher will explain to the Kala exactly, you know, just practically speaking, how to fulfill some of these halachas. The Sidrei Tara points out that this whole idea of going deep in clearly cannot be so critical. It's for a very simple reason. He says, when a girl gets married, she's not doing that. There's no way she's doing that. If she's doing that, then she just broke her basula. And everyone's going to end up being not a basula. So says the Sidrei Tara, it's a raya brewer that the halacha accepts bedikas without this unbelievable depth of bedikas. So it can't be that it has to be so far. So again, what I tell people, they ask me, is twofold. They should try to go as much area as they can in terms of rotating the bedikah cloth as well as they can. And they should try to go in. They should just go in a drop. They should try to go further in, a little bit further in as far as they can. Different women give different shiurim that we had to put the bedikah cloth, how many knuckles. I'm not holding in the nuances of that. That's in the women's, misaira. But it should be, I just say what it says in the Ramah. The Ramah says kefi kaicha, whatever kefi kaicha means. There is a question that the contemporary poskim have brought up, particularly in terms of this issue of bedikas chor nistachin, that we probably really do insist on, and that is the following. Traditionally, bedikas were always done. I mean, in the olden days, they weren't done with the fancy schmancy bedikas cloths that we have today. They were probably more done with a piece of shmata or something, but in the last couple of generations, so bedikas cloths have come nice, a nice little pack, and they're the fancy ones, like everything else in life. They're the more expensive ones, and the more mohudu ones, not more mohudu ones, the more comfortable ones, and then you have the I think the ones make in Switzerland, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're different eights, different degrees of comfort in terms of the bedikah cloths. But again, the basic idea being, it says shukhara, you have to take a piece of cloth and put it to be clean, it has to be white, and you have to put it in that area, and sure, that's what the bedikah cloth is. So what if a woman doesn't have the fancy bedikah cloth, she finds herself on somewhere on vacation, and she realizes she doesn't have she ran out of bedikah cloths. So usually, if there's a mikvah, nearby, usually the mikvahs sell that. But sometimes she can't get to the people during the day. Whatever, the mice, wherever she is right now, she doesn't have a bedikah cloth. So what do you do? So you go back to the old style, the way the great grandmothers did. You take an old t-shirt, and rip it up into little squares, and sure, that becomes a bedikah cloth. I just tell the woman, when they do that, they should be careful. Try to make it like approximately the size of what we're used to. Sometimes a woman will send me a bedikah, it's like that big. It's a bedikah cloth is so small, how in the world did she wrap it around her finger to do it? Sometimes she uses it so big, it gets clutzy. So try as best you can. You're already ruining your husband's t-shirts, already make it proper, so cut it into the right size. But sometimes you have a situation, she doesn't even have that. So the famous shaila becomes, can she use a tissue? Can she use a tissue? Can she use a toilet paper? Something like that. Just wrap it around her finger and use that for a bidika. So there were some poskim who got weary about that. So some poskim said that that's not going to be able to accomplish bidika schar nestakim. Why not? Because they were concerned that if you move the tissue around too much, it's going to rip. So now a whole shaila was raised, another poskim raised, is that if you take a tissue and you go in, you're going to be doing a very shvacha bidika, so maybe that's going to fall short of being a bidika schar nestakim. So there were some who were concerned about that. So I think that, l'chatchila, it's not the best thing to do a bidika with, but if one's really, if one's stuck and they have nothing else, so then I think they're if I'm not mistaken, I think Ravazda, if I'm not mistaken, was one of the mekilim who said that, mikradin, if you do it carefully, when you take it out, if it didn't rip, so it didn't rip. So you did it, it's hard to stop it. So you try to do your best. What the Boskim do not like is for a woman just simply to put a tampon in. A woman's going to put a tampon in, that's a bidika, but that's not the ischar nestakim. It doesn't move anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. So that's going to fall short. So that really should not be used, as we'll talk a little bit later on, that may be good enough for a moch. We'll talk about a moch a little bit later on. But in terms of anything that requires a bidika, it should not just be a placing in of something. It should be a moving around. The goal is to rotate a little bit to accomplish this goal of bidika's chayr nestakim. So we spent a little bit of time talking about just practically speaking what a bidika is, the bidika of Hefsek Tahara. That's our real topic right now. Now we move on to the next important part of Hefsek Tahara, and that is the timing of a Hefsek Tahara. When is the earliest and when is the latest, and where exactly, when exactly Hefsek Tahara has to happen. So just to recap for a moment, the Mishnah tells us that before a woman is able to go to the mikvah on a level of deraisa, there was a shiva nikiyim, so she was just counting shivas yom tiyah benidah. So the woman was not a zav, she was only a nidah. So she started a period, whatever it was, that's the seventh day, it's late in the afternoon, so she can't go to the mikvah tonight until she proves that she stopped bleeding. So she does a, sticks in a b'diklot, does a b'dikach, or a stock, whatever it is, and she's clean, and therefore she can go to the mikvah tonight. So the Rishonim said that same idea that before she can go to the mikvah, if she was a nidah, she requires a hefsek tahara. Before she can count Shiva Nikim, she's a Zava, or Bisman is that she's a Suffolk Zava, so she also requires Hefsek Tahara. So whatever the Mishnah talks about in terms of the standards of Hefsek Tahara back in those days, just spill over to us post Rabbi Zeira days, post Benos Yisrael days. So we have to observe all those halachas that govern Hefsek Tahara. So when does a woman do Hefsek Tahara? So there's Machlekes HaTanoim between Rabbi Yudin Dechachamim at the very end, last practice, Maseches Nida, when a woman can do Hefsek Tahara, when is the earliest time to do Hefsek Tahara? So the Rabbi Huda says that Hefsek Tahara has to take place le'achar ha-mincha. Let's say whatever day she's planning on doing Hefsek Tahara, she's going to do Hefsek Tahara on Tuesday. She can't do Hefsek Tahara at 8 o'clock in the morning. She has to do it le'achar ha-mincha. Why is that? The Rabbi Huda says because if she does it so early, so then it's true that maybe the blood stopped, but we know the teva sometimes is, it stops and restarts again an hour later. So how is a Hefsek Tahara at 8 o'clock in the morning going to prove that she's really eligible to begin to do what she wants to do next, either go to the mikvah, couch, or the key, whatever it is. So therefore, Rabbi Huda says, you have to try to do it later in the day. Now, again, even Rabbi Huda agrees that if I do it, if she does it at 5 o'clock, it's also not a raya brura, but in the myself. So therefore, Rabbi Huda says, you have to do it before chatzos, do it if, I said too much for Sam Fuchat. She does it in the morning, that's no good. She does the Achra Mincha, so that's good enough according to the view of Rabbi Yudah. What does the Achra Mincha mean? So we all know from Tilsa Shachar and Avri Pesachim days, there are two Minchas. There's Mincha Gedol, Mincha Tana. So what Mincha was Chazal referring to according to Rabbi Yudah? So it's Machlekes. Big surprise. Machlekes every year. Oh, and they say it's a whole shot of the post game. What was Rabbi Yudah's Samach Mincha? For us, it probably doesn't matter. I say probably. I'm going to backpedal from that in a moment. But Rabbi Yudah says, the Achra Mincha is critical. If it's before Mincha, it's no good. The Chamim Omer, Mafilu Batka Be'Shachris is good enough. The Chum say, what's the difference? Whether she did Hefsek Tahara in the morning, afternoon, it's good enough. And the Bdik is fine. So at first glance, the Achra Mincha issue isn't too relevant for us. We don't pass the Rabbi Yudah. Why should you follow Rabbi Yudah? Is it Das Yochid? Yochid Ram? Karam? Why should we follow Rabbi Yudah? So if you would just read the Mishnah in Maseches Nida, you would walk away with the sugya saying, whenever she wants to do Hefsek Tahara, she wants to do it 8 o'clock in the morning before she goes to work, there's a day. She wants to do it 5 o'clock, she comes back to work, also there's a day. What's the difference? Morning, afternoon, none of this really matters for us. But then you read the Braisa. Then the Gemara also quotes a Braisa that says, and it's interesting because the Tana in the Braisa is Rabbi Yudah HaNasi, who happens to be the same person who wrote the Mishnayos. But this particular discussion doesn't appear in the Mishnah. The Gemara quotes a Braisa as the following shaila. Maybe that the Chachamim hold that even a Hefsek Tahara in the morning is good, That's true if it's not what's called Roa Yom Rishon, if it's not the first day of her bleeding. But if it's the opening day and somehow magically she's ready for everything, now again, 99.99% of the time it's not going to happen. But we'll talk about hopefully as we go on next week when this can happen. It does happen for us potentially. She says day one. So she just starts to do it now. And lo and behold, she gets a period at 7 in the morning. By 8 o'clock, the she's ready to go. Ready to go to Tara. So the Gemara quotes a Shaila. Rabbi Danasi wasn't sure. What's the din? If you have a woman who's a Roi Yom Rishon, maybe even the Chum agreed to Rabbi Yehuda. What's the rationale? Because Roi Yom Rishon, it's Bayona Pasuach. She's just bleeding. When do we say that like a Shvacha Raya, that she stopped bleeding, is good enough? Even a morning Bedik is good enough. That's when she's ready up to day six of our Raya, so she probably really did stop. She's day one, the flow is so strong. It's Bayona Pasuach, the spring is open, it's bursting forth with Dav. And then an hour later, she's going to do this Shvacha Hefzik Dara. Maybe the Chum agree to Rabbi Yehuda, or maybe not. And the Gemara is back and forth, unresolved questions. So the Shaila is multiple fold. Number one, do we pass in this distinction at all of Roi Yom Rishon? And probably the most basic question is, even if we do, so what? How in the world will you ever get a Roi Yom Rishon for two problems? First of all, Metzias-wise, it's in terms of the world of biology, it's 99% the odds are against you. You're very rarely going to have such a scenario. But halachically, it's going to be impossible because once we've adopted all these chumras, we don't start having tyros until day four, day five at the earliest. So how are you going to have Roi Yom Rishon? So this whole sugya sounds like it's... another one of these Tyrus singers, another thing that's not relevant at all. So believe it or not, this is going to become very, very relevant for us. Hopefully it's a Shem next week. We'll pick up from this point. So we just remember that Rabbi Yehuda Chum had a machlekes. The Bryce has an unresolved suffix about how far the machlekes goes. And then we have to plug this into Bergfeld 2024 to see how this plays out for us.